Good morning, Keystone. Good to see you. Hey, something in the unfinished season and in any season is this: we stand in awe of God's word. That's a value for us, and it is true today. And so we're going to be in John chapter 4. So I hope you have a Bible. If you don't, there might be a couple in the back. Take your neighbor's Bible, whatever. John 4. All right, John 4, get there. And we're going to talk a lot of work to do out of John 4 this morning. For our purposes this morning, did you know that there's a distinction between seeing farther and seeing further? There's a distinction between seeing farther and seeing further. Today, we want to talk about seeing further. There's a general rule of thumb, I just found this out, that seeing farther generally is used to talk about physical distance. So I wear my glasses to see farther. Seeing further is generally, the rule of thumb is this: seeing further is used in the metaphorical or the figurative sense. So seeing farther, seeing further. We want to talk about seeing further today. What if God would give us a vision to see further? And I was trying to think about that seeing further idea, experiences in my life of seeing further. And I thought of one of the privileges I have as a pastor is to officiate weddings. And, you know, the pastor's job is the do yous and the I do's. That's all that we have to worry about. And we come out with the groomsmen, right? And so, you know, out we come, and we come generally come across the stage, and there I stand with the groom right beside me. And then the bride comes from the back. And I've always, generally speaking, with the crowd, no one's eyes are on the groom except for his mother, because it's her little boy, right? So it's the mother of the groom and me generally watching the groom. And it's so interesting to watch the eyes of a groom when you're standing right beside him. Sometimes there's kind of a glazed over look when that bride steps out with a sly grin on his face. And you're like, slow down, man. We got to get through the ceremony, right? Sometimes, as soon as that bride steps out, tears start. And the older I get, the more emotional I get. I'm crying about thinking about it right now. So I'm like, steady, man. I have to get through this ceremony. You got to pull yourself together. Sometimes in the groom's eyes, I see fear and panic. And I'm like, I don't know how to help you with that, man. We're too far down the road here. We can't turn back. But man, you talk about a time when you have an experience of seeing further, right? Because it's not necessarily what he's seeing physically as much as it is the thought of the rest of my life with my bride. What an amazing thing. Seeing further. We want to get a sense of that today. And the Bible is full of that idea, seeing further, and God giving us a vision that requires us to see further. This is Job 42. At the end of Job's journey, if you know that story, it's a remarkable story. Job says this: I had heard reports about you, notice, but now my eyes have seen you, Job says. My eyes have seen you. One commentator notes that this experience of God for Job at this point is real and personal. In the past, his knowledge of God was what he had heard. It was hearsay, but this was real. Seeing further. It was Job's experience. Our theme today is serving faithfully. Keystone friends, listen, we need a vision to see further. To serve faithfully means to see further. We're called to that in this season of unfinished, and really in any season of our walk with God. Seeing further, furthermore, invites God to challenge our categories. Think about that. When God calls us to a vision, when God calls us to see further, he challenges our categories. Man, I hope this week, if you follow Jesus, I hope this week in some way God challenged a category in your life. And maybe you're like, what do you mean by that? Well, pick a category, your things we're gonna talk about today, your expectations, your agenda, your assumptions about life. I hope this week God has pushed a little on that. I hope ongoing in your life as you grow closer to Jesus, God continues to put his finger into the mix of the categories of your life. Things you think, well, I got that figured out. And God's there to say, what if I want it different? Listen, when God calls us to see further, as we're going to see today, it challenges the categories of our life. When was the last time God challenged a category in your life? Seeing further. We want to consider that together from John 4. Hopefully you're there. John 4, our text specifically comes on the back end of Jesus and the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. A story many of us know, if not very interesting. We're not going to take time to read that story. We're not going to really interact with it. But it's interesting because Jesus comes to that woman at the beginning of John 4, asks her for a drink, and ends up giving her living water. I mean, you talk about seeing further, right? So at the end of that story, we get to verse 31. So John 4, 31. And we see the disciples who had gone away, they returned to Jesus. They had left him and they returned to him. And in the beginning of verse 32, Jesus presents kind of this compelling vision to serve faithfully. He presents to the disciples this compelling vision to serve faithfully. He says to them, open your eyes, Jesus says. In a sense, he says, see further. See further. I want us to read John 4. Let's pick it up. Follow along. Verse 31 through 38. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, Jesus told them. Don't you say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields because they are ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. The word of God. And in it, Jesus casts this compelling vision to see further, to serve faithfully, he says to his followers, to his disciples, and by extension to us. He says to serve faithfully, we need to see further. It's going to challenge our categories today. Let me give you four categories I think Jesus challenges in this text. And these words, they'll overlap. You'll be, well, that first word's kind of like the second word, kind of like the third. Yes, they're kind of synonymous. But I think they're all important in their distinction, okay? So four categories that I think Jesus challenges here for us as he tells the disciples to open your eyes, see further. Jesus, in saying see further, he challenges our agenda. This is really the question of what's next. This is what's next. That's our agenda, right? We all know about agendas. This is what's next. And notice for the disciples, the agenda is food. I love that, don't you? I'm in. My agenda's about food. So I really relate to them. When do we eat? That's always my agenda. I mean, if you go to the thing where you wear the lanyard and it has the schedule for the thing you're at, what are you looking for? When do we eat? When's lunch? When's breakfast? It's no different for the disciples. Their agenda is, when do we eat? Go back to verse 8 of chapter 4. Notice this. The reason Jesus had time to talk to the woman at the well is because his disciples had gone into town to get food. They went to Fairway, and they bought groceries. And we get to verse 31, and it says, they came back. Verse 30, they left the town and made their way back to him. And in the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, eat something. Everybody wants Jesus to eat. Jesus, you need to get some food. That's the agenda. All of us function according to an agenda. What's the schedule? When do we eat? What's next, right? You have an agenda for today. Church, Mexican food, a nap. And Fry, if you don't make it interesting, I might start the nap now, right? We function on agenda. Some of you men, you married a woman that if you'd hadn't married her, you would still be flunking out of college. That would be your agenda. And you married that woman and she keeps you sharp. And it's like, no, we're not. You would be lost in the snow today. But she's like, we're going there. Don't forget this. We have that. Some of you are agenda people. At one level, we're all agenda people. When do we eat? Jesus, you should eat something. We went to town and bought food. You should eat. Rabbi, eat something. And listen, there's nothing wrong with an agenda. But my question is this, in light of Jesus saying, see further, is there room for Jesus to challenge your agenda? And maybe you're a big time what's next person. Well, I know what's next. I know what's on the list. What if Jesus says, well, that's not on my list? Because that's what he says here. He challenges, when Jesus says, see further, he will challenge our agenda. Do you remember the sisters, remember the siblings Jesus was friends with when he walked on this earth? So Mary, Martha, Lazarus, familiar to some, many. We're going to look at them a little bit today. There's some interesting parallels. But there's one story in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus is with Mary and Martha. And it says this, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to give me a hand. Bossing Jesus around. Tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Someone wrote a book called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. That's so brutal, isn't it? Some of you were like, what's Martha's Enneagram? Stop that. But, right? Like, you know Martha. Some of you are Martha. And you're an agenda person, and I know what's next, and it's we're eating now. And the disciples are, we went and got this food, and Martha's like, Jesus, look at this mess. It's Monday tomorrow, and I'm glad you came and visited, but we got all these dishes. I have to work in the morning. It's time to clean the house up. And Jesus, as it were, gently says to Martha, Martha, that's not the agenda right now. And your sister has chosen the better thing. Listen, seeing further challenges our agenda. Man, the disciples, verse 31, they kept urging him. You see that? They kept urging him. You need to eat. How about your agenda? What's next with your relationships in this unfinished season with your resources? Here's a question. Is your what's next non-negotiable? Huh? Keystone Friends, is your what next non-negotiable? Like, here's what's next for me. It's non-negotiable. What if God says, I want to push on that? And you say, nope, it's non-negotiable. Are you willing to be challenged in your agenda with your relationships, with your resources, with whatever it may be? I wonder, is God challenging your agenda in the unfinished season? He's challenging the agenda for Jolynn and me. He's challenging my agenda with my money. I got plans for my money. And in this season, God says, what if I want to challenge your agenda, Matt? Is there room for that? Because seeing further, God always challenges our agenda. Serving faithfully means seeing further. Don't let your agenda keep you from opening your eyes. Keep you from God opening your eyes. Seeing further challenges our expectations. 32. Back to the text. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? My food, Jesus says, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Seeing further challenges our expectations. The disciples come to Jesus and say, you should eat. Jesus says, I have food you don't know about. The disciples say, someone must have brought him something to eat. This is what will happen. That's our expectations. If our agenda is this is what's next, our expectations are this is what will happen. And all of us have expectations for what God's going to do, right? Well, this is what's going to happen. And some of us probably don't like surprises. This is what will happen, and I don't like to be surprised. So Jesus says, listen, when they say food, Jesus says, I have food you don't know anything about. And they're like, well, somebody must have brought him something to eat. It's interesting in the text, the Samaritan woman at the well in the beginning of the chapter was talking about water. Jesus was talking about living water. The disciples were talking about food. Jesus is talking about living food. In some ways, don't you feel bad for the disciples though? Like, can't Jesus just answer the question sometimes, right? I mean, I don't want to pick on Jesus, but can't you relate to that? Like, does someone bring you something to eat? Well, no, I have food you don't understand anything about. It's like, what does that mean? Did someone bring you something to eat or not? Kind of. Because, listen, the expectation that Jesus wants to give them, the way he wants them to see farther is this. There's food and then there's food. And we're not talking about food. We're talking about food. I wonder, what's your expectations? Because when Jesus gives us a vision to see further, he challenges our expectations. Let's go back to Lazarus and Mary and Martha for a minute. Do you remember John 11? That's a text many of us know where Lazarus dies. And it's kind of the same story, just a different set of things that Jesus wants to teach about expectations. Because he says to his disciples, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And you know, if you're the disciples, you're like, here we go again. What does that mean? Because they're like, well, if he fell asleep, he's going to be okay, right? Finally, Jesus says this to him. I love this. This is John 11:11. After going back and forth about what does he mean that Lazarus fell asleep, Jesus says this. Our friend, Lazarus, has fallen asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. That is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Hey, listen, Keystone friends, if you're in Jesus, that's you right there. Someday, Matt Fry will fall asleep. Not fall asleep, fall asleep. Someday I will die. But here's what Jesus says. I will come back to Matt Fry, who is my friend, and I will wake him up. That's Jesus. Are we talking about sleep? No, we're talking about death. Actually, we're talking about life. So what are we, what's the expectation? The disciples are like, oh, does someone bring you something to eat? Well, kind of, but it's not food. It's food. The disciples say, so is Lazarus asleep? Well, yes, he's asleep, which means he's dead, but really he's alive. I can't keep up. Because here's the thing, when Jesus wants us to lift up our eyes, and when he wants us to open them, when he wants us to see farther, when he wants to see further, not farther, he's saying, I want to challenge your expectations. I wonder how and where is the room for what you expect for God to do a work, to help you to see further. Seeing further challenges expectations. If you stay around Keystone long, here's something you will do. You will kneel a lot. We kneel at gatherings. And if you've been here for a while, you've been at a gathering where they're like, we're gonna kneel. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the age where kneeling is a bit of an adventure now, right? Some of you are like, I get down there, I may not get back up. And furthermore, who wants to be the person who's like, well, I don't really want to kneel at a gathering. Oh, you're too good to kneel for Jesus. Okay, noted, right? I love the fact that every morning before 8 o'clock service, before we do this four times, we gather as a worship team in the back and we kneel down and some of us get back up. You know why we do that? Because our expectations for what God's going to do aren't big enough. Because for us, we've put a lot of work into this service and we've planned and we've practiced. But at the end of the day, we gather in that room as a team and we kneel down and we say, this is about you, King Jesus. And you may want to show up in the gifts you've given us and in the word that's preached and in the work of the Spirit of God in this congregation in a way we're not expecting. And so do that. And we're on our knees ready to receive that, ready to be the vessels you use to do that. Keystone friends, I wonder, are you doing that in your life? Do your expectations leave room for God? Because seeing further means sometimes we're talking about food when we should be talking about food. In what ways does God want to open your eyes? Man, here's a great prayer for unfinished. God, challenge our expectations. What a great prayer. God challenges our assumptions. That's the third thing. He challenges our assumptions. This is how it works. 1 + 1 = 2. A + B = C. That's the assumption, is how it works, right? Look at verse 35. After Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. There's food and then there's food, Jesus says. Jesus says, don't you say there are still 4 more months and then comes the harvest. Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields because they're ready for harvest. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. Jesus, when he tells us to see further, challenges our assumptions. He challenges the statements that we make of, well, this is how it works. Notice the challenge he gives to the disciples. He says, there's 4 months until the harvest. That's the assumption. That's how it works. But he says, actually, the fields are already for harvest. And Jesus had a case study right in front of him. One writer notes, the fruit of Jesus' mission was represented by the Samaritans who were coming to him. His mission field was already urgent. He had just got done talking to a woman who was overwhelmed by the living water that he offered to her. And she said, let me go get some of my friends and bring them back. And she goes and says, come meet a guy who told me everything I've ever known. And Jesus is in the middle of this while he's talking to his disciples. And he says to them, listen, I know the assumption is that 4 months from now is the harvest. But when you see further, the harvest is here. The harvest is now. He wants to challenge your assumptions. He wants to challenge my assumptions. I wonder, is there room for him to do that in your life? There's a soybean field above my house. It's February. The only white thing to be harvested from that field is snow, and nobody harvests snow, man. Back in January, during one of those cold weekends on a Saturday morning, I went for a walk out at Sailorville Lake. And the last time I walked out there was like in the fall. And so you're thinking fall, like you're remembering pretty leaves and birds still singing and, you know, a crisp morning. It was like a frozen tundra out there. Nothing was plowed. For all I know, like an hour into the hike, I was thinking I may never come back from this. I could be in the middle of Sailorville Lake right now. I have no idea where I'm at. And you start to think, man, I can't wait until this weather breaks. I can't wait till I come out and I don't have to worry about the snow being out of the way. And there's leaves on the trees. And I know where the water starts and the land ends. You know why? Because that's how things work. Because my assumption is when the weather changes, that's when it'll get nice. That's when you can walk and it's different. Jesus says to his disciples, listen, if you're going to see farther, I'm going to challenge your assumptions. Look at what's happening with the Samaritan woman. Jesus says, the fields are ready to be harvested now. I know you think this is how it works, but what if the harvest is now? In the call to serve faithfully, may God open our eyes to see what he sees, to challenge our assumptions, to see further. Keystone friends, what if the mission is now, not later? And maybe in this unfinished season, your heart has been saying, well, if, and later on, and then, and down the road, and when. And Jesus is saying, listen, I know that's the assumption. I know it's 4 months from now. That's what you think. What if it's now? What if we're in the middle of it? The vision that God has called us to. Is there room for God, when he says to see further, is there room for him to challenge our assumptions? Last thing is this, he challenges our contributions. He challenges our contributions. Look at 37. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. Jesus, in telling us to see further, he challenges our agenda. He challenges our expectations. He challenges our assumptions. And he challenges our contributions. Jesus says, I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you've benefited from it. This answers the question of this is what I'm doing. Sometimes when we serve faithfully, it's easy to get our head down and think, well, this is what I'm doing and it's where is it making a difference? And Jesus says, listen, to his disciples, he says, you are reaping things you didn't even sow. And again, his context is right in front of him. Jesus and the Samaritan woman had been laboring among the Samaritans, him indirectly through her going to the Samaritan village. And in turn, that labor is now the disciples to enter into. Jesus says, your contribution is so much bigger than just your responsibility. But sometimes it's easy to forget that Jesus, when he says, see further, that when God calls us to that, it changes the way we look. It challenges the way we look at our contribution. Congratulations, Chief fans. Okay, great. There was two in the last service. How was your party for the Super Bowl? Probably if you went to one, the first thing you said when you were invited was, what should I bring? Because you don't want to end up with all guacamole. It's good, but not too much of it. And so you got there. And when you did, what you brought was added to what was already there. And you're like, I don't even care about the game. How about we're back to food again? How about the food? In the same way, it was easy for the disciples to think, well, this is our responsibility. And Jesus says, it might be your responsibility, but lift up your eyes, open your eyes, and look at the opportunity. Friends, I wonder, in times when it's easy to get our head down and think only about what our responsibility is, are you willing to let Jesus challenge your contribution? He says to the disciples, this woman is now bringing others, saying to them, come see a man who told me everything I did. And you're going to reap some of that. You didn't even sow it, but you will reap from that. The responsibility of your contribution opens up into a great opportunity. 1 Corinthians 3:5 says this, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Two servants in the early church. They're servants through who you believed, and each has a role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Recognizing my responsibility, seeing the scope of the opportunity, it's bigger than me. I wonder, seeing further challenges our contribution in this season of finish, look equally to your responsibility and to your opportunity. Listen, one of the biggest challenges we have, I think, is, well, what does it matter? This is all I have. And all we think about is responsibility. And the Lord of the harvest says, listen, you will reap where you didn't even sow. He says to the disciples, everything's happening in this Samaritan village. You had nothing to do with that. And yet you're going to sow into that and reap from it. I wonder, are you allowing God to challenge your contribution, to help you see further, to say to us, not only is there responsibility, but there is great opportunity. So where is the challenge for you, and in what way is Jesus saying see further? How is Jesus saying see further? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. So listen, for some of us here today, if you don't know Jesus, seeing further begins by receiving new sight, new vision from God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, that faith that God promises us there is a faith that is a gift from him. You can't earn that. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, the place to begin when it comes to seeing further is to receive new eyes from Jesus, spiritual eyes. If you don't know Jesus, that's where to start. We walk by faith, not by sight, and that faith is a gift from him. Let's have a conversation. If you're here and you're like, I'm checking it out, I don't know Jesus, do I know him? I don't understand faith. Listen, that's where it starts. Seeing with new eyes, seeing further begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ and the faith that he gives you as a gift. Let me turn then to Keystone brothers and sisters. Listen, we need to be praying the Ephesians 1:18 prayer, which is this, God, enlighten the eyes of our heart. May he enlighten the eyes of our heart to see further. What a great prayer that is to pray in the unfinished season. Serving faith, we need a vision. I wonder, what category does God need to challenge in your life? Your agenda? This is what's next. What if God says it's not what's next? Your expectations? Well, this is what'll happen. What if God's expectations are bigger? Bigger. Your assumptions? Well, that's how it works. What if God says the harvest is now? Your contribution? Well, I know what my responsibility is. What if you've lost sight of the great opportunity that God has for us? Where does God want to create a vision in your life to see further? Todd and Renelle Wallace are people who have invested so much in this place. Many of us have benefited from their ministry directly. They were here at the beginning. And Ronell is going to tell us her story and also the story of the 10:02 vision. A parallel text to Matthew 4, in some ways, is Luke 10:2, where Jesus says, God, send laborers to this field that's ready to be harvested. If serving faithfully means seeing further, then Todd and Ronell's story epitomizes that vision. It brought Todd and Ronell from death to life. It brought them all the way from Ames to Ankeny and beyond. Watch this.
So my husband Todd and I both got involved in SALT in, I think, 93. And so Ames is this place where we met Jesus and got saved. It's where we met each other and got married. It's where we had our kids. And so when it became obvious to us that the Lord was saying, this is what I have next for you, is to actually pack up and move, we didn't have a box for it. It was a concept and a thought that was really hard to accept. And yet at the same time, it was so clear that he was calling us into this. So Troy called Todd and I into his office, and we had a meeting on a Friday afternoon, and it was him broaching this idea of, what if you guys moved to Ankeny and you planted a church down there? At the time, we had about 80 people who were driving up to Ames every weekend, and so this was a thought that kind of blindsided us. Todd and I had thought we would retire in Ames as part of Cornerstone. And this meeting, as we're hashing through these ideas, it was getting emotional, because I was realizing that there was legitimacy in what he was asking us to consider. And at one point I turned to him and I said, Troy, Ames, Cornerstone, this is our home. And he said, I know. And what I'm asking you to do is go make a home for someone else down there. And in that moment, it was like, if God has mic drop moments in your life, that was one for me. In that second, he showed us, and now we have a new chapter in your life story, and you're moving to Ankeny, and you're going to plant a church, and you're going to go serve this community of people and make a home for someone else, like a home that has been created for you for the past 20 years. Church planting, on the one hand, is glamorous. It's also really hard. The reality is I cried. I cried a lot. And it was a tough transition, but sometimes God calls you to hard things, and though it's hard, you are convinced in your soul, this is exactly what God wants us to be doing. I am in the center of his will. And at the end of the day, when we would crawl into bed tired, there was a peace and a rest from knowing I am doing exactly the work that God has prepared for me to do. And it was this aha moment that his fields aren't just up there in Ames. He has harvest fields here in Ankeny, and he's asking us to work in them. He's asking us to be salt and light here in Ankeny. This is our harvest field. And that's what the 10:02 vision is all about. So 10:02, I think for sure you start by explaining it's based on the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 2. This isn't our idea. This is God's idea. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, to send out workers into the fields. And so when we say 10:02, we're talking about praying and asking God to raise up men and women to be laborers. And so for sure, it means we're praying for church planters. We're praying for SALT directors. But I think it's important to also know that it doesn't say, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out pastors. He says laborers. He says workers. He's asking us to not just pray for people to plant churches, but in some ways, we're praying for ourselves to have the boldness and the courage and the purposefulness to go be laborers in the fields that God's laid out before us.
Who doesn't think that all those years ago in Ames, that Todd and Ronell's vision there was good and faithful to stay in Ames, right? It was good. And yet God began to say, well, what if that's not my agenda? And what if my expectation's much bigger And what if the assumption is you're gonna retire at Cornerstone Ames, but you're not? And what if the responsibility of your commitment may look like this, but it's gonna be like this? And as Ronell says, I'm gonna steal that from her, that mic drop moment from God when she realizes we need to see further. Did you hear what she said though, Keystone? It's not that he does that with pastors or the fields are white unto harvest, so send someone else. It's all of us. God has called us to see further. How does he want to challenge your categories? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of Todd and Ronell at the tip of the spear for this ministry, along with so many others here who have been faithful to you. And we are grateful for the trail that they have blazed and continue to blaze for us. But God, we want to be discontented in a way that pleases you. We want to know when we're talking about food and when we're talking about food. So God, challenge us in good and important ways. Lord, stir up our agendas and our expectations and our assumptions. And may we see the opportunity in our responsibility. Lord, help us to see further. Thank you for the words of Jesus and how they speak to us. Use us in this season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together as we close. Stand with me.